Here's what he's saying.
If a person is saved, they can't be saved again. They're just saved. Notice, look at this.
He goes on in verse number 7 and 8, and I feel like we don't quote this enough, but this helps you understand the text, this descriptor here. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned.
Here's what he said. The earth that God waters either brings forth good things or bad things. Y'all understand? Here's what he's saying. A person is either saved or they're lost. They're right or they're wrong. You can't be saved and lost. You can't be saved and lost and on your way back to being saved.
He's saying that it is a one-time event, a singular issue, a singular happening when a person repents of their sin and is covered by the blood of Jesus and their sins are washed away for eternity and the heavenly gift is made available to them. Are y'all listening to me? Say amen. Amen. Listen to this, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Are y'all listening to me right here?
Here's the problem I got with this idea of losing your salvation. That would have to mean that God promised me that I was going to heaven, and now I'm not. He not only did promise me, but he promised me by the promise that he made on himself, just like he did for Abraham. He swore by himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of God. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Listen to this now. What I'm trying to tell you is, when God saves, he saves completely. The work is done. There's nothing left for you to do to continuously earn your salvation, nor to continuously keep your salvation. By the way, thanks be unto God that I don't have to earn it and I don't have to keep it, because there wouldn't be no need for me to come preach to y'all this morning, because I can promise you I'd be on my way to heaven. There ain't no way that I could do it. Listen to me. I can no more keep my salvation than I could be good enough to earn my salvation. There ain't. Listen, if I needed salvation in the first place, is that not evidence to you that I do not have the ability to do what it would take to maintain it? That's why Jesus died once for all. Talk about security this morning. I tell you what security will do. I tell you what security will do. It'll let you move forward. You ever get to the place where you quit worrying about whether or not you said the right words when you got saved, and whether or not you done it right, and you was at the right place, and it was on the right day at the right time, and everything went right, and you ain't done too many sins since then? Hey, by the way, you've definitely done too many sins since then. Let me just go ahead and be real clear with you. Hey, listen, if you ever get to the place where you quit worrying about all of that, then you might do something for God, because you'll get away. Hey, listen, you'll get away from the altar of salvation and begin to walk on the pathway of righteousness. So what do we do?
Here's the question. The question that I wrote down this morning.
What do we do with our security? See, I think sometimes we're real guilty of trying to convince people of the security of their salvation, and that's supposed to be enough. But here's my question. If I am saved, and I'm going to be saved, 10,000 years from now I'm going to be saved, 10 million years from now I'm going to be saved, then what do I do now? I'm still here.
What do we do with this security? First of all, I want you to see this.
Yeah, everybody ready for the message? Say amen. It's going to be short this morning. First thing you need to do with your security is move forward.
Look at verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, time out a second.
Understand something. How can we leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ? Because we've already dealt with that at salvation. He's talking about your salvation. Therefore, you got that straight. Now we're going to move on to some other stuff for y'all. We can say, man, look at this.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto what now? Perfection.
What is perfection? That's having everything else right. That's having everything straight. That's getting to the place, that's working yourself up to the place where you're all the way reconciled. Not just in your salvation, but in your knowledge. Unto perfection.
That's your sanctification. That's your learning. That's your growth. That's your spiritual. That's your spiritual understanding. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Look at this. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
If this was the only verse in my Bible about security of salvation, I believe my salvation was secure. Because you know what the Hebrew writer just said? Paul, by the way, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. I don't know if that's controversial to anybody, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know what he just said? He said, we got to quit going back and trying to do it over again. Laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work. He said, if that's a problem, that's a problem because your works are dead. You understand? If you're having to go back, circle back all the time, you got something out of whack. Because if what you were doing had life in it, you would be able to see that there's no way, based on this passage, that God could have given you that and then taken it away from you. He said, you got to quit circling back. We have to move forward in our faith. We got to do something with what God's given. Quit trying to figure out if God did what He said He was going to do and take it on faith that God did what He said He was going to do and now you do something with it. Amen.
Number two, look, verse number two, look at this. Of the doctrine, here. Well, now we're going to talk about doctrine. Did you know that saved people are eventually supposed to get to the place where they're secure enough in their salvation that they can actually learn something about God? Amen. Of the doctrine of baptisms, hey, guess what? That comes after salvation. Of laying on of hands.
Guess what? That comes after salvation. Y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Look at this. Of the resurrection of the dead. Hopefully that comes right long after salvation.
Amen.
I'm hoping my resurrection from the dead, I'm hoping I ain't dead for a while. Do y'all understand what I'm saying right there? Resurrection of the dead. Look at this. And of eternal judgment.
I really hope that one holds off for a while after salvation. I hope you get to live saved a little while before you have eternal judgment. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Talk about moving forward. You need to look. Hey, by the way, these are things we're supposed to be learning about. I've had people tell me, preacher, why do you preach on this Revelation stuff and all this tribulation and end time stuff? Because the Bible said I'm supposed to preach on that stuff. Don't be hard to preach the whole counsel of God and start looking stuff out. He said, we need to move on. We need to move on from the point of salvation to the understanding of the doctrines of the things of God. We need to move on. We need to get baptized. We need to learn how to interact with the people of God. We need to learn about the things that God has taught us in His Word. We need to learn. Doctrine is defined as this: what we believe and what we do. It's not to be saved, but it's because we're saved that we learn doctrinal truth. I'm not trying to gain knowledge for the purpose of salvation. I'm trying to gain knowledge as a result of my salvation.
We move forward. We learn doctrine. Then I want you to see this. We give proper glory. Look at verse number 3. And this will we do if God permit. This is going to be real simple. This whole message is real simple.
I believe it'll help you with the security if you listen. This is going to be a real simple point.
When we follow God closely and we obey His commands, it's not hard for us to figure out that He's the one that made it all possible. Notice what he said right here in verse number 8. Verse number 3. This will we do if God permit.
Here's the fun fact truth right here. Y'all ready for this? You say, preacher, are you saved? I'm only saved if God saved me. And I'm only saved as long as God keeps me saved. And I'm only saved to the level that God has the ability to save. And I'm only saved as long as God is God. And I'm only saved as long as Jesus died on Calvary. And I'm only saved if God called me to salvation. And I'm only saved if God accepted my repentance. I'm only saved if God heard my cry. I'm only saved if God is who He says He is. You say, preacher, how do you know you're saved? The same way I know God is God. Listen to me, by faith. If you trust Him, it'll give you security in your salvation.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, they had these places that they set aside in Israel called cities of refuge. The way the city of refuge worked was very simple. If a man committed a crime and it was not something that he intended to do, he had a dispute about it, he didn't mean for it to be the way it was, then he could run to the city of refuge and he could take refuge there. He could stay there until the matter was decided and he would be protected from his avenger, as the Old Testament says, from that one who wished to do him harm. It's kind of a protected custody, y'all understand, until the matter was resolved. And he could go and hide out in this city of refuge and he would be able to walk openly amongst the people, but he would have protection by the borders of that city. And listen, here's the deal. When he went to the city of refuge, he could stay there. Listen, as long as two things happened, as long as he was alive and as long as the high priest was alive. Listen, he could stay there as long as the high priest that had approved his sanctuary would keep him and listen, would stay alive. Listen, but if he handed it off to the next high priest, it'd be up for debate again. I want to say it like this morning. When I got saved, I ran to the city of refuge. Listen, the city of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I'm guilty of the things that have been accused against me. I'm guilty of the sin. Listen, but I don't want to go to hell. Jesus offered me a way out, and I ran to His refuge. Listen to me, and now my high priest is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how long are you going to be saved, preacher? As long as the high priest is alive, I'll be in the city of refuge. As long as Jesus lives, I can live. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How long are you going to be saved? Just as long as Jesus is God. Some of you coming here this morning. And you're worried about one thing and one thing only. It's the same question you've been trying to get answered. Probably some of you for years and years. Am I really saved? I got saved when I was however many years old, 5 years old, 55 years old, 35 years old. And I got saved and now I know I've done a bunch of bad stuff since then, and I know I've sinned against God since then, and I just don't understand what I need to do. How do I get back in? Hey, can I tell you something this morning? It is impossible. It's impossible to get back in. Thank God He keeps us in.
Amen.
When you got saved, friend, listen to you. The Bible says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of redemption, and earnest of your salvation was deposited in your life. Until when? Until the day of redemption. When Jesus comes for you, He'll get all that straight. I tell you what you ought to do this morning. You ought to look at this cross. You ought to say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And you ought to turn around and go do something for Him.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I ain't never got over the day I got saved. I'll never get over my salvation. But hey, listen to me. I'm not still trying to gain it. I'm not still trying to get it. And I'm not still trying to straighten it out. And I'm not still trying to hammer it all out. Hey, listen to me. I'm using it as a jumping point to be able to serve God. I'm using it as a platform and a foundation of my faith to be able to do something for God. I have left and walked, not left and turned my back on. You understand what I'm trying to say here? But listen to me. I've moved on deeper into the faith. I'm beyond the point of salvation. And that's what some of us need to do this morning. Listen, can I tell you something? There's two types of people in the world. Are y'all with me? Say amen. I'm getting ready to be done. There's two types of people in the world. There's saved people and there's lost people. That's the only two types of people there are. There ain't no in-betweeners. There ain't no, gray areas. There ain't no could be, might be, would be, want to be. There's saved people and there's lost people. When you die, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. You either belong to the family of God or you belong to the family of Satan. Are y'all with me this morning? Say amen. You can't be both. And you can't be one and then the other and then the other and then the other. The fact that the matter is, you are saved or you are lost. And some of us need to get that straight this morning. If you were saved when you were 16 years old, you're saved now. Listen to me. If you were saved when you were 30 years old, you'll be saved when you're 100 years old. Saved is saved. And the same goes for the lost person. Are y'all listening to me? If you're lost now, you're going to be lost tomorrow. You're going to be lost next week. You're going to be lost next year. You have been condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the Son of God. But thanks be unto Jesus. Good glory to God this morning. There's an opportunity for you standing right in front of you. You don't have to be that person anymore. You don't have to be lost anymore. Jesus has intervened on your behalf.
Amen.
He can do something about your lost condition. And He's offered to make you one of those other types of people who's going to dwell in heaven for all eternity, who have the gift of the Holy Spirit deposited inside of them as an earnest of their redemption. Here's my question as Hunter comes to the piano. Which one are you? Which one are you? Why don't you stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Nobody's looking around.